Genesis 25, we're going to read a few verses in chapter 25, and then we're going to read chapter 27. First of all, verse 1 of Genesis 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. This was after Sarah died. And then we want to go down to verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated by him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be born of thee. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. But when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Then chapter 27. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory food that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from there 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory food for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is an hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father perhaps will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the choicest raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he recognized him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory food and brought it unto his father. And said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with grain and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob, because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from there. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, who are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? The Lord, when he talked in the New Testament about divorce, he simply said from the beginning that was not the way it was. And Genesis is a very important book for us all to get a handle of, because many of the truths of God are presented to us in seed form in the book of Genesis, and they carry right throughout the rest of the Bible. And that's true about what we're going to study this morning with these two sons, Esau and Jacob. Just for a side note, we read the first verse for a reason, that Abraham took another wife named Keturah, and I believe that's a picture of a coming day when the Lord again is going to take up the nation of Israel. We know Sarah was the woman he really loved. That was his wife. And that's a picture to us of the Lord and his church, his bride. But he is going to pick up the nation of Israel again. And that's just a little seed thought that you can think about. We see here that Isaac, in verse 20, was 40 years old when he got married. That gives a guy like me some hope. He's 40 years old when he got married. And 20 years had gone by without his wife having a baby. And we know, all of us know, that it's the Lord that gives children. And it's a tremendous heritage to have children given to us by the Lord. And we need to realize that responsibility. And it's interesting, as we look at Isaac and Rebekah, Brother Aaron portrayed a wonderful story last week of how they met and they were married and everything, and how the Lord intervened in bringing those two together. But as we read this chapter, we kind of see a division there, don't we? It just doesn't seem all right in the home. And we read in Amos that how can two walk together except they be agreed? And it's always interesting that in a home it seems that the problems generally begin when children arrive, don't they? That's when a division comes between mom and dad. They have a wonderful way of doing that. And I can remember times I did that personally. Mom, can I go here? No. I don't like that answer. Let me go talk to Dad. Dad, can I go? Yes. And I went. And you know that Dad caught it. And he determined a way that he'd never have to endure that again. Did you ask your mother? Yes. What did she say? No. Well, then my answer is no. Solve that problem right there. But children do that, don't they? And we have that picture to us here. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. All of us dream of getting married one day and having children, but a lot of Christians get married and they're not able to have children. And we need to pray for them as well. Today's Father's Day, and there's some men that are married that are not fathers, and we need to consider them today too, those of us who are fathers. Because his wife was barren, and the Lord was entreated by him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And there was a battle going on within Rebekah, and she wanted to know why. And she asked the Lord, and the Lord revealed to her the reason that there was this great struggle within her womb. He said that there were two people born within her. One was going to serve the other. The elder was going to serve the younger. And that principle runs right through the whole Bible. The elder shall serve the younger. That was a word from God, and he wanted Isaac and Rebekah to rest upon his word. But as we look through these two chapters, we see how both of them were conniving. And we wonder where Jacob got it from. He got it from mom and dad. Both of them were conniving as to who they loved and what God's will was going to be in relationship to their children when God told them specifically what was going to be true of their children. And that's a good lesson for those of us who read the word of God and we know what he says, but we all want to connive around it. We all want to find a way around it. The Lord tells us all of us are going to be tempted. Every one of us are going to be tested. And we need to ask the Lord, if we don't understand why we're being tested, why? If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God who gives to all men the bread and not. If you don't understand what he's doing. That's what they should have done. They should have asked the Lord. Rebekah did it in the beginning, but they didn't do it later on. And the only time we see them refer to the Lord was really in a bad way when Jacob lies to his father and uses the Lord's name in the lie. That's a dangerous thing to do. The Lord says the elder shall serve the younger. Esau's name means man, the way man really is, his own heart, a man after the earth. And every one of us have an old man, and some of us may not have a new man here this morning. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you haven't been born again. And there needs to be a young man too, not just an old man. The old man, he has to serve the younger man. And Esau was just a typical man of the earth, of the world. And it's interesting as we go on what it says about that. After that came his brother, Jacob, and his name means a supplanter, a conniver. What can I do to get around things? You know, God had to bring him, as we look down at his life, he had to bring Jacob to the very end of himself. And he struggled with the Lord. Remember, he had a little wrestle with an angel of the Lord. And the Lord had to bring him to the end of himself. And that's what he has to do for you this morning if you're not saved. He wants to bring you to the end of yourself where you realize you're a lost, guilty, helpless sinner, and you don't deserve anything but hell, but yet God has given his very best to you in the person of his Son. And he wants her to be not just this older man, but a younger man as well. All through the Bible, David, he was a younger brother. Samuel, he looked at all the older brothers and he said, yep, this is the one. And the Lord says, nope, that's not the one I've chosen. And finally, David was out in the field being a shepherd. And the Lord says, that's the one. It's the younger brother. Jacob and Esau, it's the younger. And there's many other instances of that. Manasseh and Ephraim, the younger brother, and even crossed his hands, picturing it was from the work of the cross. It was the younger one that was going to have the preeminence as far as God was concerned. And that's true today. It's through the cross, it's through the work of the Lord Jesus, that the younger has preeminence over the older. Just driving up this morning, the Lord gave me a thought. Is there anybody older than God? Is there? And there's a tremendous principle that God reveals to us through the person of the Lord Jesus. The elder shall serve the younger. On the very night the Lord was betrayed, he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he was with a few of his own that he loved. And here he was telling them, I'm about to die. I'm going to go to the cross, they're going to crucify me, they're going to slay me, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And I want to institute, I want to celebrate this last Passover before I suffer. And he met together with those few that he loved. And what would they be discussing? It shows us really what that older man is like. And every one of us are like, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And picture this, if you will. Malcolm was sharing some of this with us. Picture this, the Son of God, the Creator, the Elder, the older one, should stoop and put on a servant's garment and bow at the feet of the ones he had made and wash their feet. And he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you wash one another's feet. You get the message? You serve. That's the message of the elder one, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't come to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And those of us who are believers, that's the character of our life. That's what it should be. Not what's in it for me. Who's going to be the greatest? And isn't it interesting at that one that we read that humbled himself, God has raised him up and he set him at his own right hand and said, this one every knee will bow to and every tongue confess that he is Lord for the glory of God the Father. See, the elder shall serve the younger. And I'll never get over that. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, should ever serve me. Which is greater, the Lord said, the one that sits at the table or the one that serves? And he said, well, it's the one that sits at the table. You go to a restaurant, you sit down, you serve. You're the greater one, right? But the Lord said, I'm among you as one that serves. He's saying, you know who really is the greatest? It's the one that waits on the table. I always love to give a good tip because I remember that. That was the place the Lord took. Sometimes we don't get the greatest service, but I think it's a great testimony for Christians. Leave a good tip. Anyway, that's not an easy job, and none of us likes to serve. But that's what the Lord chose to do. The elder shall serve the younger. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? The Lord says, take the low place here. We have that presented to us, and the elder shall serve the younger. We also have something else. There's the old man and the new man. And once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we have this struggle. Paul, the Apostle Paul even shares with us a great struggle he had within him of the old man and the new man, the old man and the new man. There was a brother that really seemed to love the Lord, and they asked him, how do you do it, brother? How do you succeed over sin? He said, well, inside of me, I've got these two dogs, and they're always fighting. There's a good dog and a bad dog. And he says, well, who wins? He says, the one I feed. And that's a good principle. Who's going to win that struggle? The Lord wants it where the older man is subservient to the new man. In other words, that old man, that old teeth, he's to be put in the background. And the new man, which is Christ, is to be seen. Not me, Paul said, not I, but Christ. And we have all these things presented to us just in that one statement. Present to us in Genesis that the elder shall serve the younger. And you can look and think about that more. There's a lot of thought in that one statement. Jacob the supplanter. Notice in verse 28, it's Father's Day, and I think there's some things in here for fathers. Isaac loved Esau. It would have been wonderful to stop there. But it's got a because. What does it say? Because he loved his venison. I wonder, dads, if that's true. Moms, if that's true today. You love your children because of something they do or they are? Or do you represent God and you just love them? Because they're your children. You just love them, not because what they can do. And we read right through here. That was Isaac's, his belly. He loved this food that Esau would make for him. And so he loved him because of what, because he did eat of his venison, verse 28. But Rebekah loved Jacob. What a division in the home. What chaos that can bring if we love one child over the other. Sometimes the children feel that. I think all of us sometimes in our life can say, well, Dad loves this one more, or Mom loves. And it's very hard as a parent, isn't it, to be equal with our children. And yet that's, we're there as representatives from God, and we have to be equal as best as we can with our human ability to be equal with justice with our children and with our love. Don't love because. We have a little plaque at home that we put up for my mom. It says, my job is to see that everybody else does my job. It's just a joke to her because sometimes we're going to eat and anybody's ever been there, we go to sit down and she goes, while you're up, can you bring the salt? You know? You want to say, Mother, don't you have two legs? You know? And sometimes we can use our children. And Isaac was really loving Esau for what he could do for him. And some parents like to see their children live the life that they wanted to live. You know, I want my son to be a football player because I couldn't cut it, but I want him to be one, or my daughter. We can live our lives through them. And we need to be careful of those things. Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. There's lessons for that for us in that statement. A divided home, what a change from the beginning. And children do that, and we need to be careful. As parents, to talk to one another. Sometimes it's good for mom and dad to get out of the home for a little while and talk and say, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing right? Aside from the children, go back united and present a united front to them. It's hard today. Everything is against the home and the family. And we need to, before God, ask him for his help in raising children for him. You notice in verses 30 through 32 that Esau is so hungry, he said, if I don't get this, I'm going to die. How many of us have said things like that? If I can't have this, my life's going to be over. If I can't have this, I'm going to die. And that's what Esau said. And he was more interested in what this life had to present to him than the future. What was true now, that was more important to him than what the future held, what his birthright would hold for him. What profit, he says, is this birthright to me? Do you remember anybody else in the scripture saying, what profit? The Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, there's something that's much more vital than today. It's tomorrow. God wants to know, are you prepared for tomorrow? Are you prepared for the life ahead of you? Do you despise your birthright? You know, in Romans, when it talks about men and their sin and their rebellion against God, the apostle, by the Spirit of God, says, do you despise the forbearance and the goodness of God? Do you just despise what God has done? Or you don't care? You don't look ahead and realize that one day this is all going to come to an end and you're going to have to stand before him and give an account for your life? Are you ready? Does it mean anything to you? And God has given us a tremendous gift to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we better not despise that gift. That's the only gift. That's the only question that God would ask us, Mom. What do you think of Christ? That's it. It's not how great a sinner you are. Well, God can't save me because I'm such a great sinner. We're all sinners, the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus died for every sin that has ever been committed. And God only has one question. Have you believed in my son or have you rejected my son? Or are you just in the balance? You're just neglecting him. If you neglect him, you're rejecting him. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's so we can have that new man. For everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. The old man and the new man. The rich young man comes to the Lord. All these things have I done. The Lord said, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this. I've kept all those commandments. And the Lord went right for his jugular. He says, well, you have? Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? And go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor. And so the young man went away sad at that saying. Now there were two sad young men that day. Who was sadder? I'm sure it was the Lord Jesus. He saw that young man who was clinging on to the things of today. I can't let go. And the Lord says, let go. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is where are you going to spend eternity? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Go sell all that you have. And I wonder how many of us this morning, the Lord asked us to do the same thing. To go sell everything that we have, if we would do it. That's the importance of it. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The young man, there's just countless examples in the New Testament of the Lord meeting people one-on-one. And we just see some of them just turn their backs on the Lord. The multitude, they only came to him for what he could do for them. Will you also go away? He asked the disciples. Peter says, whom shall we go to, Lord? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. His word. God gave us his word. And God gave Isaac and Rebekah his word. But they didn't really pay attention to what he had said. And we can trust his word. His word has not changed. What you find in Genesis, like I said, you'll find right throughout the rest of the Bible. Right throughout the whole Bible. It's just as true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you despise the goodness of God this morning? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have that new young man to be a servant to the old man? Aren't you tired of living in your sin? Aren't you sick of it? You want to get delivered from these different things and you just can't do it in your own strength? Well, there's someone who can deliver you from those things. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jacob gave Esau what he wanted. The New Testament says, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What a sad comment. And we read about Esau's tears here. And I'm sure that those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, one, they're just going to weep when they realize what they could have had if they had just accepted him. They would just realize the value in the birthright that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus. Well, we go on to chapter 27, and we learn some other lessons. We notice, as we read, that Rebekah and Isaac loving Esau, wanting to go out and get some venison that he loved, and yet Jacob, Rebekah was conniving with him to fool Isaac. And we notice that there was only one thing that Isaac was not fooled by, and it was the voice. It was what he heard. Every other sense that he had, his touch, feeling, the smell, every other one of the five senses were tested. And the only one that did not fool him was what he heard. The voice is that of Jacob. He knew who it was from the voice. And you know, our ears, we need to place importance on our hearing. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All of us tend to operate on what we see, don't we? The things that are seen, the Bible says, are temporal. They're not going to last. The things that are eternal are not seen. So we need to listen to what God says. The importance of the voice. And he goes in and he fools Jacob. He has supplanted me. You know, we're hearing many voices today, aren't we? We listen to television, we read things. There's a lot of voices out there. And we can be fooled by those voices. And the only message that we can read, the only truth that there is, and the whole world is the word of God, really. That's the truth. And we compare everything else we hear by what the word of God says. Faith comes by hearing. What does he say? What does God say? That's what's important. You read that little bumper, God said it. I believe it, that settles it for me. That's the way it should be. His word settles it. Jacob knew what God had said. The elder was going to serve the younger. And yet we still see that he wanted to bless Esau. But God worked in spite of that, and he saw that Jacob received the blessing. Notice what he says in verse 20, what Isaac said. Isaac says, well, how'd you find it so quickly? And Jacob said, because the Lord God brought it to me. What a way to use the Lord's name. He was lying to his own father. We need to be careful, too, how we use his name. Just to go back for a moment, you're never going to get through this, but just some seed thoughts for you to take home with you and think about. In chapter 25, verse 27, we read this, and the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Now, father, naturally, he likes that young macho boy out there in the field hunting and bringing his father back here. But Jacob, he's just sitting at home, you know, maybe play the piano. And that's not my view of what a real man is, maybe, as a father. But you know, it presents to us a much deeper spiritual truth. That is this, when we're in our sins, we're out in the field, we're running all over the place, and there's no peace, the Bible says to the wicked. We're trying everything to find something that will satisfy us. But you know, when we come to know Christ, you find that those people stay at home, and they're quiet, and there's a peace and a joy that they have that no one else has. We went through the entire United States right now. You could just about go to different homes and you could tell which homes were Christ was the center of the home. Just the way the homes were and are. You could tell. And it's interesting that just that one verse presents to us how the elder shall serve the younger. One time, I was a wild man and still am. Sometimes that old man still crops up. And yet the new man comes in, takes over, and just brings a blessed relief to all that old man ever was or ever will be. God can turn it around and bring peace to the life that had no. The Lord saw the raging sea. And that's us. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. The disciples said, we're going to perish. Don't you care, Lord? Lord, peace be still. Suddenly there was a great calm. And all of us that are Christians here this morning, remember that day when we accepted the Lord. Do you remember that? Just the calmness that you felt, the peace in your heart that finally I found the answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I would encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. He's never let me down. And he's never let anyone on the Christian here down. I would encourage you to trust him and find the peace and the joy that comes through believing him. The elder shall serve the younger. Father, we thank thee for thy word. So much to cover and so many thoughts in these chapters. We just pray, Lord, thou wilt take the words that have been spoken, thy word, and thou wilt bless it to our hearts. We pray for homes. We think today, especially being Father's Day, we pray for each father here and grandfather. Lord, we thank thee for them. We realize the tremendous pressures there are today. And we just pray that each one might realize their need and utter incapability of being a true father without thee, and we just pray they might realize their dependence upon thee. Lord, we thank thee for what thou hast done in our lives and what thou art still doing and will do, and one day we know we'll be delivered from sin forever. We give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus in his precious name. Amen.